A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at schwabvious.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Basher with Jonathan D.T. Ward. The book is The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. I've been emphasizing the Chinese point of view because it's a fascination and it's non-transparent. Jonathan's book also involves the American point of view and what needs to be done. He's touched on many of these items before, but it's worth repeating some of them. The one I go to immediately, arsenal of democracy. I've always loved that term, Jonathan. Secure allied supply chain and a new arsenal of democracy. Since February 24, 2022, the arsenal looks half empty, maybe fully empty. What needs to be done, Jonathan?
Well, we're going to need to rebuild our industrial base. I mean, that's the, I think, one of the most significant elements of this contest. I mean, in the Second World War, for example, we were nearly three times the size of the combined industrial output of Germany and Japan together during the 1930s. And today, you know, we're about 15% of world manufacturing, but China is 30% of world manufacturing. So not only are we, not the overwhelming majority, as opposed to our adversaries, we are trailing our adversaries here. So I think we're seeing that alarm bell ring when it comes to actual military power. I mean, very many groups have now focused on the fact that our own existing arsenal cannot supply, a conflict with Russia and China or even with one of them for long. But we need to have a broader general industrial base, and that means focusing on rebuilding the U.S. manufacturing base, securing our supply chains, and deploying capital in America to ensure that our manufacturing and industrial capabilities, change dramatically. And part of that is going to be the decoupling from China. I mean, that will take place on some level or another, but the more that we're able to, build from ourselves or from our allies, as opposed to from our adversaries in Beijing, the better off we'll be.
North American economic integration. What is that?
Right. So I think at the end of the day, what we really need is, to have a stronger, fuller North American economic presence. I mean, moving factories out of China and into Mexico is something that could be very, very beneficial to this. I mean, that's something that actually is viable for many companies that would like to supply the U.S. market. I mean, to no longer be building in China and manufacturing in China and sending across the Pacific, but to do it here. Our resource base, our natural resources in the continent of North America are incredibly powerful. So if we can get our manufacturing base back, I mean, we have incredible advantages in technology, innovation, energy, food. What we're lacking is industrial capacity. And it's something that we always had until we went into the failed bargain with the People's Republic of China. So I think to have not only the United States, but North America as a cornerstone of the world economy is one of the most important things we can achieve.
A new frontier of economic power. I like this because you work backwards from 2100. And in your book, you mentioned that we've got a whole of economy transformation underway. What will that look like?
Right. So the fourth industrial revolution, which will take place, it's really about the digitization of industries, the Internet of Things, and also the creation of new industries. I mean, this is going to be a moment in economic history that has begun now and will last for the next 10 or 20 years. And it's going to redefine economic history in similar ways to the first three industrial revolutions. And I talk about all that in the book. And the point is that's our opportunity to seize. And we want to be looking for these inflection points in the future of the world economy. And if we look back at the innovations that we can achieve and unlock essentially in the decades ahead, and also deny that to our adversaries, then I think we're going to be able to rebuild a delta. I mean, there are going to be massive productivity increases for the U.S. That can come from that. I mean, adding the next $10 trillion in national wealth, in national GDP, to say nothing of many tens of trillions in national wealth. I mean, some of this is going to be the result of the fourth industrial revolution. And at the same time, Beijing has an even clearer plan for how to utilize that when it comes to their own economic strategies. So this is why I think we also need a bifurcation in the world economy. I mean, if it's just China has access to our innovations and our market and all of that, they can steal, commercialize, grow, and outcompete us. But if we're able to deny them that, deny them our capital, technology, and many of the allied markets, then they will stall and their ascendancy will stall, and we will still have the opportunity to take off.
The investor class is not convinced. In Europe and America, the investor class still believes there's money to be made in China.
Well, look, I think the Wall Street needs to go through the same awakening that Washington has when it comes to China. I think they need to look at shareholder risk entirely differently, at China risk entirely differently, to realize that corporate strategies that bet on China supply chains, China market access, China growth, I mean, all of those are going to be, I think, not realistic in the context of the geopolitics of the 2020s. And I think people have had a bit of a wake up with Putin's invasion of Ukraine. I mean, again, many investors are not there to determine the next move of a dictator in Moscow or China. That is something that doesn't always enter into the calculus. A lot of it's just based on economic potential. But when you're dealing with a political economy, and the nation in question is preparing real military moves, I think you have to look at your risk premiums very differently. And I'd love to see Wall Street get more aligned with Washington and understand what needs to be done. And there are going to be plenty of opportunities in terms of the global economic competition, the reconstruction of the U.S. industrial base, the integration of allied supply chains. I mean, many sectors that will matter to this, from semiconductors to critical minerals to space to, you know, engineering, robotics, you know, all sorts of real opportunities will exist. And I think those that stick with China are going to get burned pretty bad.
Back to February 24th, 2022. Did Xi Jinping make a mistake embracing Putin?
I think Xi Jinping did exactly what Xi Jinping was going to do. I mean, let's not forget, this is a man of great ambition and great brutality. And those characteristics, I think, often define our adversaries. I mean, we are not dealing with a Gorbachev in Beijing, and we are not even dealing with a Khrushchev in Beijing. We're dealing with something very different. They're carrying out an industrial technological genocide and preparing for war in the Pacific. And they've told us as much to our faces for years. So, we're dealing with a strategy that's based on raw ambition.
The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Jonathan D.T. Ward is the author. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.